We were discussing the machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos and the Gemara and Shabbos. The case of Minayar Talisa, someone who shakes out his talis. So if you remember, Rashi said, what's the case said in the Gemara? If you're Minayar Talisa on Shabbos, you're Chayav HaChatos. This would be a Raisa. Rashi said that means from the dust that settled into your jacket. Tosfos said it's referring to the how, the dew that settled on your jacket. So let's take a look at the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Beis, very beginning of Shin Beis, Aleph. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Haminar taliso chadosha shchora minatal shalel chayiv. A person is Minayar's talis, new talis, black talis. Remember, we had a discussion last week. Do you really need to fulfill all these tanaim? Or these are just ways to know that you're makbid. But there's really one question. Are you makbid or you're not makbid? So, minayar taliso, talis chalosha shchora, minatal shala is chayiv. Why? Shehanir yafo lo kimo kibus. It beautifies the garment, just like kibus. Hu shemakbid alei, shlo lo lo, shel below niyor. And that's only if you're makbid to only wear it when you've shaken it out. I mean, you wouldn't wear it the way that it is right now. If you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah in Beis, he says, "Aval chivrei usumke, if it's other colors, less fun, but there's no problem. Behatam, dibechashdasha ushoro, minkar hayipoy al yidei anir." It's clear that the yipoy abeged, the beautification of the beged, is clear when it's a dark talus with water on it. Umasha kasev shemakbid aleh, that what it says it were makbid. Hatam de oz chashiva hanir kemo kibus. It's only when you're makbid that the niyor is considered kibus. About in ein darko lahakbid olov shol lefamim beli niyor. But if you're not normally makbid and you'll wear it with lefamim beli niyor, you don't mind if there's a little bit of dew or water on your jacket or your shirt. Mutter lanayar af lechachila. It's mutter even lechachila. That's a huge statement right there. Rav Shlomo Zalman points, it's quoted from Rav Shlomo Zalman in Shmir Shabbos Kiel Chasa. It's really an amazing thing. We're going to ask a guy, are you makbid? If his answer is yes, then doing it is an isser deal raisa. And if he says no, then it's absolutely mutter lechachila. And now we're going to leave it up to each person's shikol hadas to like cheshbin to himself, would I normally during the week be makbid on it? You know, you're fire here. If the answer is yes, then it's a deraisa to do it. If the answer is no, then it's totally mutter lechatchila. So it's really a pella, this halacha.
Why is the Indian man no?
Right, so that's always a good question. If you're not really makbid, so we already said it could be you're doing it with chavad shabbos, and that's not called makbid. Meaning if during the week I would walk outside like that, but on Shabbos, it's pasnish to walk out like this on Shabbos. Mm-hmm. But I would walk out during the week. Listen, it really depends on the movie.
How often I walk out with my suit, with my Shabbos suit during the week.
Right, okay, that's true. But if that type of dust would be on your clothing during the week, right? Some people, you know, you see them in shul, their hats are all bent out of shape and they've got dust all over them. Yeah, they're clearly not makbid. They walk out like that all the time. Other people, they would never walk out with the dust. Hat. You know, they have their brush and they brush their hat before they go out. So each person with feet is hakvada. If you know, I'll be honest. Like a lot of times, especially here in Rav Beit Shemesh, you know, the bottom of your pants get dusty. So I'm not makbid on that. But if I had that same thing on right on the chest of my jacket, I would brush it off if I saw it. I wouldn't want to walk outside like that.
So then, if he's not makbid during the week.
If he's not makbid during the week on such a thing, then he's allowed to do it on Shabbos. Even if on Shabbos he would be makbid, yeah, because of Shabbos. Yeah. But if it has to be that during the week he wouldn't be makbid. Right. He says only by a black new garment. Now new is a very interesting question. What does that mean new?
Did I say makbid on the way?
Oh, so if you're makbid, this is now the machlokes. Do you really need all three tanayim? The Shulchan Aruch Rav said, yeah, you need all three tanayim. But the halacha said hakpada is hakpada, and that's the way that most of the achronim go. I don't know exactly what the Yaakov Yosef says, but that's the way that most achronim go. They assume that hakpada is hakpada, because that's obviously the whole idea behind the halacha. What, you know, what would be the svara? I banged into someone and asked them what I'm to the shir these days, and I said, oh, I'm giving on this, but I'm loving. So he's like, what's the deal with black clothing, new, like, where does that rule come from? So he said to me, he's like, it's got to be that it's really just talking about hot blood, or else it wouldn't make sense. Why the black and why? Now, the question is, what does new mean? Let's say we are going to go with feed the tonight in. What does new mean? You send your clothing to the dry cleaner, it comes back just as new as something that's brand new. So, you know, and we really have to know in terms of modern day, you know, nowadays when your clothing starts to, you know, wear out, so most people get rid of them and get new clothing. I think back, you know, in the olden days, they kept wearing things and they literally fell apart. They didn't, you know, people you see in the Gemara always talking about like a guy who only has one shirt. He only has one garment of clothing. So, you know, because he had to clean it, you know, during times you're not allowed to do laundry. So the mitzvahs nowadays, you know, you go into some shuls, certainly in chutzpahs, you go into some shuls, and, you know, no one's walking into shul with a stain on their shirt, or dust on there. You know, everyone, you know, they look in the mirror a lot before they go to shul. So it's very much, I'm sure, dependent on the mitzvahs of where you live. Now, the Rama adds, commenting on this, the kol shekin she'asur l'nayar beger she'nashar v'mayim o she'yardu lo b'shamim. We've been talking about now in terms of a little bit of tau. You know, it's a few drops on your jacket. But certainly, if it rained and poured, it's going to be a problem. V'dafka v'beger chavu l'shemak v'lawa. Certainly, if it's very, very wet, it's going to be a problem. I assume that the hashtas is that everyone's makbid if it's sopping wet. Nobody wants to walk, is going to walk into shul with a sopping wet shirt. So to start shaking it out, plus if there's a lot of water and then you start shaking it out, you're going to have a problem with tzchita, of squeezing out water. So we're only talking about a small amount of liquid, and we're talking about that you're not knocked it on. Comes the Rama and says, Yei Shomri, de Osir Lenayer Beged Min Ha'avok Sh'ala V'Nachted Ala, that it's Osir to shake it out from the dust. V'tov Lachosh L'Dvarav, and it's good because she is for his sheep. Mishnah Berurah right away comments on this and says, "I am El Yerava." When Sifkat and Vov, Shekas of the Medina Yesh Isher Bezer. He says, "No, this whole idea of being choshesh, who are being choshesh for you?" He says, "Rashi." Rashi was known to say it means dust. So again, the Shulchan Aruch is silent. Anshe Sfard, seemingly not an issue with dust, only liquid. Dust is not a problem. Says the Rama, "Be choshesh for dust." Says the Mishnah Berurah, don't be choshesh for dust. Hold for dust me'ikar adin. Not just the chashash. Says the Mishnah Berurah, harbei rishonim, d'midina yesh iser b'zeh. He harbei rishonim sogum k'shitas Rashi. So he just gave us a big chumah. Because the Shulchan Aruch didn't pass him like Rashi. The Ramah said, good to be, it's nice to be choshesh for Rashi. Mishnah Berurah came along and said, you must hold like Rashi. So he throws us a bone here, and he gives us a kul. When we call makom, Mira, the Eishlus Machal there, Rishon of the Hakel, are you the Eino Yehudi? Befrati, Kalapom, and Mishum covered a Brios. It's very interesting. He says, but Amir Lachum, you can ask a guy, no, it's a Remez stuff. You can ask a guy to clean the dust off your jacket, and that's okay, especially since there's sometimes a covered a Brios issue. You know, you're covered in dust, you feel embarrassed. And then he adds at the end, and he says, and it's you should be careful then on, whether we mention this, on Shabbos to put it in a safe place, your jacket and your hat or wherever you have it, that's a problem of getting dusty, because you don't want to put yourself in a situation where now you have this big Yetzer Hara, you don't want to look dusty, you're going to want to clean it off, better not to do it. Okay. Oh, so we're going to talk about a child in a second. Excellent. Very good. So, you know what, I'll mention it quickly. So, a child is a really great example. If a child normally, that's a great example of the whole Shabbos example. I think a lot of parents, obviously it depends, maybe it's between the father and the mother, but I think a lot of parents, like the kid plays in the dust and he gets his pants get dusty. So on Shabbos, they might be mocked and say, you can't do it like that, you're all dusty, it's Shabbos. But during the week, you know, the kid's always coming back from cheder and he's got, dust on his pants and he's, so it could be that a child was a great example of something or a situation where not mocked. The Berel Loch has a very interesting question about, Good. So there, Halacha has a very interesting question about, let's say I am makbid, meaning if I had something like this on my clothing, I would be makbid. But I know that Baruch Yosef is not makbid. So am I allowed to dust him off? Now, first of all, if he's not makbid, he can dust himself, right? So let's take the opposite case. Let's say Baruch Yosef is makbid, and therefore he can't dust himself off because he's makbid. But I am not makbid. I mean, not that I'm not makbid for him. I'm not makbid for myself. If I had dust on my clothing like that, I wouldn't be makbid. So can I dust off Baruch Yosef's jacket? Mitzad echad, maybe we should be makbid based on the Baal Beged. He's the one wearing it. On the other hand, he's not doing the malacha. I'm doing the malacha. And for me, it's not a malacha. Because again, we want to know, is this considered kibbutz? For me, this is not considered kibbutz because that's not called dirty. That's not called kibbutz if it's not dirty in the jacket. So can I, she leaves it as a tzarchian. I think there are a lot of people, we mentioned this in the past, but also I think a lot of people think he dust off each other's things. Not necessarily so true. It's an interesting question. Can you ask a Sephardi to brush off your jacket? Because the Sephardi, he holds that it's okay. We've discussed this before about the beginning.
Sephardi holds it's okay. Also in the case.
No, but here, I may Iker then hold that there is a problem by dust. It's just that not in this situation of dust. He holds that by dust, there's never a problem by dust. Like, that's another step removed.
Is it the same question as you and me? Child?
So, child is a very interesting question. Because the kid is never makbid. So for the kid to be, when the kid wants to dust off his clothing or whatever, take the dust off his clothing, like, there isn't even a chinuch issue here. It's not an issue for him at all. He's not makbid. So can I dust off his jacket? Now, I'm dusting it off because I'm being makbid for him.
Also for you.
Well, right, it's like I don't want to walk in with my kid looking all dusty, right? That's a very interesting question. I'm not sure. That's a very interesting question. Okay. There's another very important thing here that the Halacha points out, because how we've sort of left things is that if you're Sephardi, just dust things as much as you want. And if you're Ashkenazi, it depends on whether you're Makbid. If you're not Makbid, remember, it's Mutter Lechachila. Comes the Halacha and says, this is all just talking about dusting. This is not talking about forcibly rubbing something out of a clothing. You might have heard people say this, that people sometimes say, oh, you can just tap, but you can't sit and really, really rub. So now tapping is the same thing as cleaning. Tapping, there's no mila to tap. When you're allowed to clean it, you can tap, you can do gentle rubbing. So let's take a case where you're not makbid. So if you're not makbid, go ahead, even if you're Ashkenazi. You can do a little tap, you can do a little rub. Comes the Baruch Halacha and says, yeah, but if you're sitting there, and we all know that sometimes you get dust on your jacket, you give it a little bit of a brush and it comes off. And sometimes you have to really sit there and rub and rub and rub and rub in order to get it out. So says the Baruch Halacha, everyone holds, even the Sfarim, everyone holds, he says, that's a problem. It's always a problem if you really need to rub it with force. Now, obviously, you're going to ask me, well, how do you nagdir light rubbing versus heavy rubbing? You're right, I'm not sure. You have to use your seichel. But something that requires serious rubbing, that's a problem. And something that only requires a little bit of rubbing, then if you're makbid, you're not allowed to. If you're not makbid, then you can. Shmir Shabbos Kil Chasim brings this chomer of whatever this stock in the Baruch Halacha down. So excessive force, serious rubbing, or very important nafkamina, using a brush. Shmir Shabbos Kil Chasim says you can never, for Ashkenazim, you can never use a brush. Even if you're not makbid, a brush is already what the Baruch Halacha is referring to as excessive brushing or excessive rubbing, and that's always going to be a problem. Yaakov Yosef says he thinks it is okay to use a brush, but he notes that Anshei Ashkenaz don't do it, and he advises, since it's a big discussion, to do it with a shino. You're going to use a brush, to do it with a shino. That Rav Nissen Karelitz thinks that tapping is already considered excessive.
He's saying that it's not considered excessive.
No, I think more that we don't make the skew between excessive and regular.
Oh, it's not masking
the
mirror.
No, if you're allowed to, you're allowed to. If you're not allowed to, you're not allowed to. Right, that was the Baruch Halacha. And the Akiva Yosef said no. The Baruch Halacha says whenever it's mutter, which for Sephardim means with dust, and for Ashkenazim means with, when you're not makbid, that always is not referring to heavy rubbing. So then you start having machlokes. Is hitting considered heavy rubbing? Or is hitting, so the Shmir Shabbos Machlokes says hitting's okay. In Chutshani, he says, no, hitting is already excessive rubbing. So when all the dust settles, you know, no pun intended. So when all the dust settles, the psak is as follows. If it's dust, Sfardim, it's okay to get it out, no matter how you get it out. You know, not with water, but with a brush, with your hand, you can get it out. Ashkenazim, if you're makbid, you can't touch it. If you're not makbid, you can get it out, but you can only get it out with a gentle rub, not an excessive rub. The Ramah continues here and says, Aval mutar lahasir hanotzos min habeged b'shabbos. You're allowed to remove a feather that landed on your jacket. Meaning, everything we've been talking about until now is only things that settle into the jacket. They get embedded in the jacket. The dust, it gets into the fabric, as opposed to something like a feather, which is just, even if like the tip of it is like pricking in a little bit, you have to pull it out. It's not in the bag. It's just stuck there. Where they talk about, let's say you still crumbs on your jacket. Crumbs, for sure, you can brush off. Even if you have like a sweater, which have those, they're called, but like those little balls that, you know, from the wool that starts to get all furry. And so let's say in there, the crumbs get stuck in that. You can brush that off. That's not called embedded in the bag. The post can talk about flour and powder. Those are like dust. Those are things that actually get into the garment. Still, flour on your jacket, it gets into the fabric and it requires, you know, hitting it to get it out, as opposed to salt or sugar, you know, which are larger granules, and they don't get into the garment itself. So that's always our question that we have to be mechalik between notzos, flat feathers, which don't actually get into the beged, and something which gets into the beged, like flour or baby powder. Okay. We'll talk about one more important case that's brought up in the Shulchan Aruch, and this is in Sif Zion. You flip the Sif Zion. This is something that I think happens often. It says in Sif Zion, Tit sha'al bigdo, if you get some mud or plaster, you get something with mamushes, and it gets onto your clothing, Mishach shifo mi bifnim, you're allowed to rub it from within the garment. The lo mukha milsa it chazuye kinalabin, because it doesn't look like malabin. Avalo bachut, but you can't do it from the outside, because then it's dummy lemalabin. First of all, these lashonos of dummy lemalabin, looks like malabin, what does that tell you right away? We're not talking about a diuris. We're talking about a dirabah. Okay, that's number one. So you get on your jacket a little bit of a stain. So it says you can go from the inside and sort of like scratch it around in order to get it off. But on the outside, you can't start rubbing it from the outside, because one looks like malabin and one doesn't look like malabin. Okay. So first of all, what is going on? Why? So from the outside, I understand that you're not allowed to rub it off. It looks like malabin. I understand why it looks like malabin. Why isn't it actually malabin? Why is this different? Right? We're talking about a little bit of chunky plaster gets stuck on your jacket. Why is this different than dust? What would you say? Why is this different than dust?
Not inside.
Not inside. Exactly. It's outside. So you're just clearing off the top. In fact, if you look in the Sharet Zion here, in Mem Aleph, he asks, why is this different than Sif Aleph, where according to Rashi, you're not allowed to brush off dust. And here you're allowed to, right, the Duraisa. And here it's, whatever, there's a Durabona, maybe it looks like Malab. But that means Nikar Adin, you're allowed to knock off the plaster. He says, because, and we can all picture this in our head, when you knock off the plaster, what remains on the beged is still a stain there. Because the part that got embedded is still in there. The part that was on the outside, external, that's what you're knocking off. And therefore, he says that you're allowed to, we don't want it to look like malabe, so we don't allow you to literally rub it off the outside, but you can come from the inside, or, if you keep reading in the Ramah, in the Shulchan Aruch, or migaro b'tziporo, or you can use your nail to scratch it off. Meaning you can't start taking another part of your beged and rubbing it, because you use beged on beged, that's like clean. But to use your nail, and I believe the in the Mishnah Berurah, he talks about using a knife. Like you can use a knife or a piece of pottery to scratch it off. Why? Because there's still going to remain a stain. Well, let's say it like this. If no stain is going to remain underneath, then what's it like? If no stain is going to remain, what's it like? It's like the feather. And it's totally mutter to take it off, right? I'll give you an example. Let's use a very practical example. A little bit of chela falls onto your jacket. Mm-hmm. If it's like one piece of barley, and it's just sort of like sitting on the outside of your, and you can just like flick it off, and you don't even have a stain there or anything, that's like the feather. It wasn't in your garment. It's not in your garment. You can knock it off. If a little bit of a chunkier piece of chela landed on your jacket, so now you have some, I don't know, some kishka sitting on your jacket. So here it's nice and juicy. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, seemingly you can knock it off, or at least from the inside, or with a knife, you can knock it off. And oh, what if I get some of the embedded out also? The Shulchan Aruch, that's okay. Because remember, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't mind if there's dust in your jacket and you knock it off. So for the Shulchan Aruch, same thing, even if it's a nice chunky piece of chela, just knock it off with a knife. Just don't do it in a way that looks exactly like evil. According to the Ramah, though, you can scratch it off on the outside, but you can't work it all on anything that became embedded. You know, if there's something that's in the fabric itself. Okay, one last thing here, and that is the end of the Sif Zion. The Yesh Mefarshim Dehani Milei Lach. Everything we've been talking about is like a nice wet shalom stain. However, yavesh, if it's hardened shalom, it's usher because it's poche. The implication being, the assumption being, that if you start knocking it off, it's going to crumble. And crumbling it is going to be the malacha of toche. Now, this extra chumri here of the Ramah about toche, the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa quotes it, but he says we're going to have to apply the limitations of toche. What are some of the limitations of token? First of all, it's only with gibulei karka. There has to be something that's gibulei karka. So okay, barley would be, hardened barley would be. Right, it's only with gibulei karka. And also, it has to be, if we apply the principle of ein token achar token. And therefore, if it's something like, let's say it was dough or something that had already, the flour that made dough had already ground, it also seemingly would not be a problem. Let's take a look. Here. Listen to what he says. This is Mishmir Shabbos Kilchasa. Ach ima lichlu chayavesh hu midivrei ochlin shekfar hayu tchunim that were already ground, like dough or daisa. O midivrei ochlin shenismach hayu bevishol, like shui. This is even if afterwards there's going to be a kesem, a stain. Okay. The Yaakov Yosef is not machmir for this concern of this last line here. He's not concerned about the tochen, and he says it's not a shenam miskave, and he gives arguments why he's not concerned about it. Okay, so I think we don't have to go through all of lots of practical examples, but if we just wanted to think about some things, that you know, if you have seltzer that spritzes onto your shirt or onto your jacket, so yeah, we're gonna have to figure out: is this something that I'm machmir on? Is this something that I'm not machmir on? Shulchan Aruch, seeing that I'm also would be a problem if it's something that you are machmir on. We have dust that falls onto your jacket. Is it a new jacket? Is it an old jacket? Does that make a difference? Shulchan Aruch versus the Ramah. What was that? So if you remember when we discussed the halachos of, I think we mentioned it regarding the opening bottles and mukta. So we said that Shlomo Zalman writes that it depends if you hold that maker din it's usher or if it's just a chum. If you hold that maker din it's usher, then you can't ask someone else. But if you're just doing it mitzara chumra, I don't know, it might be like a midos issue to start asking other people to do your malachas for you. But I remember someone once asked me, and I didn't feel very good. And someone came over to me and said, like, you open bottles on Shabbos? And I said, yeah. He goes, oh, good. I don't. So can you open this? So I sort of felt like a Shabbos guy. So, you know, maybe it's a midos issue, but seemingly it would be okay. So this is interesting here, because do we hold it to chumra or do we hold it to mikra din? The Ramah said it's a chumra. Right, tov lachush, but Rashi said mikra. Mishnah Berurah said mikra din. We should be nachne. So I'm not sure. Okay.
Maybe
this is doing on his own, right? Yeah, I don't know if you have to be mocha if he comes to do it. The Bar Halacha has an interesting case. What about if you get some snow on your jacket? He said the chora snow should be like a feather, and you can knock it off. Right. When the shulchan aruch is machmir for dew, you assume that that's liquid that got into your beggar. Here, if it's on top, it's a snowflake on your jacket, seemingly you should be able to knock it off. But he says do it gently, because once that snowflake starts to melt, it starts to become liquid in your jacket, and knocking it off is now all of a sudden a problem of getting the towel out of your jacket. Okay, there's a very interesting Bar Halacha that maybe I think it's a good way to end. The Bar Halacha here says, this is he quotes it. Yeah, over here in Beis. Sorry, in Aleph, on the Ramah, Tov Lachos Dvar. He quotes from the Yaros Tvash. He quotes from the Yaros Tvash. Since we don't know exactly how to define chadash, therefore it's a good idea to err on the side of caution. And he says other acharim don't necessarily quote this, but I'm after the of bracha. And I think it's right to say that in light of what we said from the Shlomo Zalman Orbach, which is that you know we're on a very tight fine line here. Would I be machbid on this? If you're sure you wouldn't be machbid. So go ahead, knock off the dust. But if it's a shayla, so we're talking about a pasuk, this is the oraisa. Because remember, that's how Rashi learned pshat in the sukkah over there. Okay, I'm just going to begin by introducing our next topic. We basically have two more topics left. We have the topic of tzchita, bringing out liquid from a garment, which is a very practical case. We have tzchita and the gzeros of chash shema yavo l'shot, and then we have a discussion about folding clothing, which is also part of malavi. Folding clothing, following a talis, specifically on its creases, is also a durabanon of malavi. We're going to have to talk about those. Will be our next two shiur, and then we'll be done with malavi. I think the next malacha we're going to do after that is going to be binyan. We're going to talk about what's considered binyan, what's considered tira, you know. Doorknob comes off. Well, is that considered binyan to put it back on? Binyan b'kalim. So we'll have some shiurim about that. Well, it's just a very, very brief introduction for 2 or 3 minutes about tzchita. The Rambam writes that tzchita is an isur d'oraisa. It's source 25 here on the sheet. He says it's an isur d'oraisa because it's mitzarchei kibbutz. It's part of the kibbutz process. And he compares it to hagasa with food, right? We talked about when we did bishul last winter, when we did bishul. So there we talked about how stirring food that's in the process of cooking, that mix it, we had a discussion, does that speed up the cooking? Does it mix the flavors together? So whatever it was, that's aids in the cooking process. That's a diuresa of cooking. So here also, wringing out the liquid that got into a garment, which loosened the stains, and it's now dirty water, squeezing it out is part of the process. So it's an issue of the arise of Malavi. However, Tosfos writes in Ksubis and Davov, also in Shabbos, Kuknam Aleph, but the Tosfos in Ksubis Davov, where Rabbi Tam is brought down that you can also be over on the Isser of Mefarik. Mefarik is Dosh. Dosh is taking something out of its natural where it grows. Like the classic example of chita midin nefarik would be squeezing olives or grapes in order to get the liquid out. So Rabbeinu Tam says that sometimes with the beged, you can also be over on the Isser of Mefarek. What's going to determine if it's Mefarek or if it's Kibbutz? Well, they're squeezing for different purposes. When you clean something, you squeeze out the liquid because you don't want the liquid there, because that cleans the beged by getting the liquid out. By Mefarek, you actually want the liquid. You're squeezing it out, right? Because you're squeezing the orange to get the orange. That's why you're squeezing it. So depending on if you have a beged that has liquid in it, depending on why you're squeezing it, you'll either be all right, because by Shabbos, we don't just look at the act. Melachas machshavas also told. We also look at your intent, what you're trying to accomplish. So depending on what you're trying to do is going to determine if you did an Isser D'oraisa. That's the Isser D'oraisa, Steve. So you definitely can't squeeze out a beged on Shabbos. And we're going to talk about situations where you might, like baby wipes, we're going to talk about. Like, are the baby wipes, when you push down on that baby wipe in order to clean the baby's bottom, and you push down on the baby wipe, you're squeezing out liquid. So are you doing that to clean the baby wipe? You want the baby wipe cleaner, so you take out the liquid? No. Why are you doing it? Because you want the liquid on the baby's bottom in order that you can clean better. So l'chor, that's going to be mefarek. That's not going to be malabim, but l'chor, it's still mefarek. We're going to have to talk about, is it mutter to use baby wipes sometimes? But there was also, and I'll end with this, there's also going to be an Isser D'Rabbanan to put yourself in a situation that might come to sechita. So I'll give you a very easy example. If you have a sopping wet garment, towel, on Shabbos, sopping wet towel, to pick that up and to start moving it around, every time you touch the beged, you're squeezing out liquid if it's really wet. Right? If it's not that wet, you need to really squeeze it in order for liquid to come out. But if it's a very wet garment, every time you touch it, you're squeezing liquid out. So you're not allowed, for instance, this is an explicit Raman Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to handle a very wet garment on Shabbos. The whole question of, like, if you get your socks wet, can you walk with wet socks? Think about it. Every time you walk with wet socks, what are you doing? You're squeezing liquid out of your socks. So we're going to talk about all of these things. A water fight, drying dishes, right? No water fights for Shabbos until we pass enough that shayla. But drying dishes, can you dry dishes with how do you wash up stain? Somebody spills something. Can you wash up something that spills? And Yitzhak Shem will talk about all of that next week.